I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Born June 1st in Cincinnati, Ohio, and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. A graduate of the University of Kansas, she is a stand-up comedian who has appeared on The Tonight Show, Conan, and Last Comic Standing, as well as standout appearances on numerous Comedy Central roasts. You can listen to her podcast and satellite radio show, You Up. And her latest special, Bangin', is available on Netflix. Please welcome, friend of the show, Nikki Glaser.
Hello, Miss Glaser.
Hello, Mr. Dare. How Hi. Are you?
Oh, well, I'm fine. Are you fine as well?
Yeah, I'm pretty fine. I live with my parents now for the foreseeable future. So I'm as good as you can be when you're living with your parents and you're sleeping in your childhood bedroom. And I'm working from my home. I never thought this would be the case, but look, here we are.
Yeah, I'm glad you got out of New York.
Yeah, I'm really glad too. I was on vacation when all this, well, not vacation. I was working in Los Angeles when this all went down, and I was supposed to go back to New York, and then I was just like, no, I'll just stop at home just to make sure they're okay, and then I stayed. So I haven't been to New York in 4 weeks, and it's crazy because I just got an apartment there, and I haven't even stepped foot in my new apartment that I'm paying.
Yeah.
More money for than I should be.
That'll be great. The first 3 months, it'll be just ungodly expensive, and you won't have ever been there. Otherwise, know what? Now's a good time to sublet it.
I have no furniture, Johnny. That's the thing. I got a new place, and I have no. The last time I moved, I wanted no possessions because I just wanted. I felt like the end of the world was coming anyway. And
what?
This was last August, and so I got rid of everything I own except clothes.
What?
Because I wanted to be I just didn't want any more things. I've never really owned anything anyway. I've lived in, crappy apartments. I've never really felt like an adult. So all the furniture I had was just, crappy. So I got rid of everything. I lived for 6 months in a furnished apartment. That was wonderful. And then I got kicked out of that.
Why'd you get kicked out?
I got to get a place. Well, the guy wanted to sell it. I don't know. I was smoking too much pot, or I don't even know. I don't think it was me because it was. I'm a good tenant, I hope, but I got kicked out, and then a month before this all went down, so I found an apartment, and now I have an empty apartment with no furniture because I was having it decorated when this all went down, and the girl that was decorating it is like, I can't talk to people or go anywhere to put things in your place, so. I have an empty apartment in Manhattan that I think my assistant is just sleeping in, on the bed. But that's all I have is a bed in a huge apartment.
So are you going to buy new things, or are you going to leave it empty besides having a bed?
Well, I don't even know now because the future is so unforeseen. So a part of me is like, oh, I'll just wait till this all clears up and then furnish it. And then a part of me is like, maybe I should never live in New York anyway, and so I might just move to LA after all.
Do you want to move in?
I don't know.
Do you want to move in with me?
Johnny, that's all this was about, and I'm so glad we got there as quicker than I thought. That's all I want.
You had me at I don't
this
have
really
any things.
Make me think about wanting to have a part. I don't want to live with my parents during the next pandemic, so. My goal when we get out of this one is to really, find a husband pretty fast.
Well, I don't want
a bunker situation.
I don't want to get married. But I do want to, I kind of want to be quarantined with you.
Thank you. That's so nice. That's like means so much to me. You don't, I mean, the way I present though on my specials and, you know, when I'm in studio is different than quarantine Nikki.
Right.
I mean, aren't we all a little different in quarantine? Like I haven't put, the other day, I'm not even joking you, I thought that I was experiencing the symptoms of COVID-19 because I was having shortness of breath and I was freaking out. And then I realized I just had put on jeans for the first time in 15 days. And I'm not even joking you. I was like, I was like, what is going on? It was like, oh, I've just gained like 10 pounds since I've been home, which if you haven't gained weight since the quarantine, I don't want to, like, I've told all my girlfriends, if you've lost weight due to the stress of the quarantine, you should also lose my number because I don't want to be friends with anyone who's like skinnier after this.
Yeah, yeah, no, there's no doubt. All you do is sit on the couch, watch TV, which, by the way, thank God for banging. Thank God for that because
thank you, Johnny.
It's
Thank you. Yeah, I have a special on Netflix. People should watch it during quarantine. It's really funny.
Yeah.
It'll make you forget about this kind of stuff for a while. I found that, like, yeah, comedy stuff has really helped me escape, like, laughing at stuff. I can't make comedy that well right now. That's the problem, is, like, it's harder to, like, be funny during this time.
Oh, give
but
it a couple days.
Watching it.
Give it a couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, it is insane, and I just keep joking about my parents dying because that's the only way that I can deal with the real fear of them dying. It's just like every time we sit down for a meal, I'm like, this could be the last one.
Oh my God.
And every time I walk around my house and I just pick up things, and I'm like, can we get rid of this now? Because when you guys die, I'm going to have to, like, fight over it with Lauren, my sister. And I'm like, I'd rather just, like, get rid of it now as opposed to having it be a discussion about who's going to take this or if we should throw it away.
Oh.
So I'm really here to just, like, clean up their stuff for when they eventually go.
What if you, don't tell them and just put your name on certain items on tape underneath it. Just
That's
when they
hilarious.
Turn
I'll just start writing N's all over, like, like putting little stickers on furniture.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
How do you, so you're living with your parents, like, how do you, you know, we're all adults here, man. How do you masturbate? Like, what are you doing for
great,
that frustration?
Great question, Johnny. I have not masturbated since, I would say before the thing, before it happened. Because before this all went down, I was living, like, the most busy week of my life. I was in L.A. and I was doing, like, a million talk shows. I had no time. I was too tired to even do it that week. And then this all went down, and I've been living at home ever since. And I didn't really masturbate, and like I didn't discover masturbation until I was like in my mid 20s. I just was like too busy, like too checked out. And now that I love it, I can't do it here. I just like every it would for me to masturbate. You know when you masturbate during quarantine, it's just like it's a thing that kind of like you just go like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go do that, and you kind of like either you sit up in bed or you. Like, you go in your bedroom. Whenever I realize I want to do it, I'm with my parents. So I'd have to just, like, saunter off, kind of turned on, and be like, Dad, I'll catch you in 10. I'll see, like, we'll go for a walk, we'll walk the dogs. I just got to go in my bedroom for a suspicious amount of time. And then I'm kind of a loud person. Like, when I really let myself go, I tend to make noises that I don't even know that I'm making. And I just don't want to risk having them go through the halls of this house.
Yeah.
There's nothing sexy about living with your parents.
No.
Nothing.
No. Terrifying.
Yeah. It's really this. I literally have not touched my vagina in weeks and weeks. I don't even know what it's like to have an orgasm. I'm like, but I'm not really like horny right now. I can't. There's once in a while I'll be on Reddit or something and I'll see an image that I'm like, oh, that's kind of hot. But then I'm like, oh, my parents are just downstairs. I can't handle it.
I got to stop looking at porn.
I was trying to hook up with my ex-boyfriend, but he is scared of catching corona. So
what a pussy.
Unless he like, I know, I was like, can't you just like finger me with a pole or something?
Sorry, just, like a selfie stick.
This is the only time. This is the only time I'm flattered if someone's like, I wouldn't touch her with a 12-foot pole. Okay, well, it has to be 6 feet anyway.
I'm mailing a package to your parents' house. We're going to send you some adult toys.
Thank you. I mean, I have them here waiting for me, but they just are not being... I actually had my assistant mail me them because I thought that was the issue. I was like, oh, it's just because I don't have anything. Because the one that I brought, I forgot the charger cord for. So I was like... I had my friend, like, send me all of the ones in my apartment, and, like, and they showed up in a box, and my parents were like, what'd you get? And I'm like, oh, I'll open it in another room. There's lots of glitter in this. I made it seem like there was, like, a biohazard inside. But I can't do it. I'm just not getting turned on. There's nothing.
No.
It's not really doing it for me. Even though I'm, like, desperate to find some, like.
Contact.
I am on all the dating apps and stuff, though, locally.
Oh. No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to hook up with anybody like that.
Ozarks?
Not now. These days.
I mean, I'm not going to hook up with anyone, but I want to, like, go on a social distance hike or something. I have to have some contact with men. The problem, though, Johnny, the problem is I thought there would be this windfall of men wanting to, like, talk to me on the phone and, like, connect in, like, a real way, kind of
sure.
Love is blind style because we can't all touch each other right now.
Right.
I was like, wow, there's going to be some guys coming out of the woodwork that have rejected me in the past. They're scared of commitment, but now they won't be because they see that love is the only true thing. And no one's coming. No one is hitting me up. And I realized the other day that it is because every guy is masturbating too much. And the only reason men ever, like, flirty text you is because they haven't had an orgasm in a while, and so they're horny. But if a guy is completely always draining his scrotum, there's going to be no reason for him to reach out to a girl. So these guys, everyone's masturbating too much. Guys need to stop. They'll talk to me.
It's the best because I just know it's absolutely true. Like, I'm like, this is so true.
Thank you, Johnny. It is true. If you masturbate, you do not want to, like, flirt with a girl on text. How boring is that? There's nothing. The guys don't, I'm not saying that girls, men don't need us for anything but sex, but, like, initially when there's, like, that flirtation and connection, yeah. A guy just wants to, like, have sex. Like, he's just trying to get laid. When you remove the opportunity to get laid, guys don't really give a crap about flirting and, like, about courtship.
No.
It just doesn't excite them. So they're all not horny, and they all can't hook up with you. So what's the point?
Listen, this is the same gene. See, but you can use that same power for good. In terms of, like, I had a buddy explain to me, look, you take a chick home, you're all hammered, and you get her all the way to the house, walk in the bathroom, knock one out real quick to yourself, masturbate to finish, and then walk back out the door and think, get out. You should go home. I'm going to call you an Uber right now. And you'll almost never follow through.
And then you're a hero.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, that is the thing. Whenever girls are like, I think my boyfriend's going to cheat on me, or, like, they think he goes out, I'm like, make him wank it before he leaves. A guy will not cheat on you.
That's true.
If he doesn't have any stuff in him. Like, drain him out.
One in the chamber.
don't let a loaded gun leave the house.
Exactly. And it's very simple to me, but, like, I know there's more complicated things involved in cheating and everything like that, but really, a guy is, I've just witnessed it happen so many times when, like, you have sex with a guy or, you know, a guy finishes, and then afterwards, almost immediately afterwards, he's just, like, not as interested in hearing the story you were telling before you guys started hooking up. Like, he doesn't really want to hear the ending. He's not, like, he doesn't care about hearing about your roommate situation. He doesn't want to hear about, like, your childhood struggles to, like, you know, with your self-esteem. Like, guys just lose interest as soon as they're not horny, and it's just biological. And so that's why I had this new thing for a while where I was just, like, not letting guys finish ever when they hooked up with me.
Wow.
I'd be like, you can do it on your own time, but I'm not going to do it with you until, like, you love me. Because I've just had it too many times where a guy's interested in you until he finishes.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm good to go. Bye.
But isn't that, but he'll fall in love with you, and then, but then will he really be in love with you? Because I swear to God, I remember I used to really wonder about myself when I was younger, like, in your teens, high school, and just out, because you'd really think, I really like this girl. I mean, I really feel some emotions with this girl. And then you're like, wow, I don't have all my emotions are on your back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Thank you for saying this because it's so validating as a woman who feels like you've done something wrong or you suddenly his feelings have changed for you. You said the wrong thing. You looked weird when you were having sex. Something happened, and that's why he's not interested in you. It's not. It's just because when I read books about this, Johnny, there's this book called Cupid's Poisoned Arrow,
mm-hmm.
and it's about, like, when a guy has an orgasm, there's no reason for him to, like, stick around and cuddle you. Like, biologically, that's a waste of a man's energy, because back when we were all in tribes and, like, you know, the key was survival and spreading your seed, that you can't get a woman pregnant twice. So after you orgasm with a woman, you're kind of, everything in your body wants to run away and go to the next teepee and have sex with her sister, cousin, friend.
God.
Like, when we were in these, like, because everyone in the tribe was ovulating at the same time. So there's no So it truly is a waste of your energy and resources as a man to, like, cuddle. So although that there are men, there are probably men listening right now that are like, I love to cuddle my wife after sex, or I like the closeness. It's like, You might, but you're fighting an undercurrent of your body wanting to run the hell away.
The good old days.
And, yeah, and women also have the same. Women also get really clingy after sex, and biologically we do that not because we actually want you, but because there's no quicker way to make a man leave and go spread his seed somewhere else than to get clingy. So biologically, we've come up with a defense mechanism of being clingy. It's actually for our benefit, so you guys leave us alone. It's like the one way we know to repulse men, but it seems like we want you to stay, but deep down we want you to leave. That's why we get like, come here, because we know there's no quicker way for you to leave.
I feel like if you and I were quarantined together, we would take turns waking each up in the middle of the night saying, guess what I just thought about?
Yes.
Yeah, and just it would be a nonstop discussion about the weirdest, most nonsensical, most diverse, bizarre conversations ever.
Yeah, I mean, once you analyze all of this, it really comes down to, like, human nature, and we're all cave people, and it's like you can Certainly. Really connect the dots, and and you don't feel as bad, because as a woman, you just feel rejected all the time, and you feel like it's because you look bad, or it's because you look... And men, the thing is... that it's good for me to say out loud again, but even to women listening, if a man wants to have sex with you and, like, is turned on by you, like, there's nothing you're going to do when you're naked that's going to make him so gross. I mean, barring some kind of, like, open sore or wound, like, a man is still going to be attracted to you. Like, you're not going to, if a man does, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mean to speak for you guys, but, like, it really is just about, like, after you have an orgasm, you're just not as into us anymore. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, well,
you can't help it.
It's tricky. It's a tricky. Now, as you get older, and you can fall in love, and I do believe in that.
Yeah,
but
of course.
You're right. If it's not love, it's a very different feeling afterwards. And I really did think there was something wrong with me for a while.
A lot of guys do.
I was like, man, why? I feel so different. Like before, I was like, you're right. Oh my God, what a great story. What's your dog's name, Mr. Bunkles? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta go.
Can't get enough.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden I'm
out.
And then
afterwards you're just like, I want to go to sleep. Or I love when a guy fakes like they're sleeping and is like, they're so tired after all that 7 minutes of sex you had. And so they roll over and they act so tired. And you go, you know, he's tired. He doesn't want to hear the end of my story. We'll talk in the morning. And then you hear him clear his throat and, like, you realize he's just, like, on his phone. And you're like, oh, you're so tired. No, he's just like consuming things that he actually cares about, not like your rambling stories about your, you know, roommate's dog.
You have got a diary. You got to do a quarantine diary. Every day, I want you to do that. I think over the next 2 months, it's going to get so weird and dark and introverted.
It is getting weird. I'm actually doing a type of diary. I do like a 15-minute podcast that I put out every day. It's usually a weekly podcast, but since the quarantine, I've been like, well, I got nothing but time. I might as well put one out every day. It's
Good.
Called You Up with Nikki Glaser, and you can find it anywhere you get podcasts. But I'm doing it every day, and it is devolving into, like, a mad woman just, like, rambling on mic about, like, living at home with her parents and not matching with men on Hinge. and just isolating. But it's really fun and funny, and yeah, so that's what I've been up to. Still doing my serious radio show. Yeah.
Which, by the way, sounds great. And I got to tell you, and I think I told you this before, but the last time you were on Howard, it was incredible. Just incredible. Yeah, I just thought you just
knocked
it out of the park, man.
That's been like the, I mean, I'm guessing you're a huge Howard guy, right?
Of course, of course. I mean, he's yeah, you know, he broke this whole thing wide open for all of us.
I mean, he really did, and he's, I just love the way he's changed over the years, and I just, I love him so much. He's the reason I moved to New York initially, because I do a serious show, and I knew that I would be broadcasting like from the same building he was, and I was just like, oh my God, I got to move there just so I can be on the same floor. And so I get to see him quite often. It was so crazy because, yeah, I was, I just was on the show the other day, like right before the quarantine happened, the week before. I was just walking into work to record my show, and I was tweeting at their show because I would listen on the way in. And then one of the guys came out and pulled me from the lobby and was like, come on air. And so I just got to like walk on air.
That's how you know you're loved. That's how you know.
Oh my God, it was the best ever. But I want to say that, like, I was just telling my parents last night that I was doing a call with you today, and they were asking about you. And I was like, he was the first radio show I ever did, ever in my life. I was a sophomore junior in college. And Craig Glazer pulled me by the scruff of my neck into your suit. Like he like curated my set, and I went in, and he always used to go in with us and just like make sure we did all the jokes he wanted us to do. But you and I just had such a great time. You made me feel so at ease. I remember like just having the best time, and it really, I mean, radio is stand up is dead now for what it's worth. Like, I don't know that
for
it's
a little while.
The same as it was. It's not dead, but right now I can't do it. And thank God for radio. I mean, thank God for being involved in something that is pretty much pandemic-proof for the time being.
Yeah.
So I definitely, you were the first one. I'll always remember that appearance, how nervous I was. And it's just so cool to be able to call in and just, like, bro down with you about this stuff now.
I'm crazy about it. Honestly, like, Jake and I were talking about how you transcend. It's not, you know, we both realized about the same time, we don't look at you like, oh, isn't she a great female comedian? You're just a great comedian.
Oh.
And it just transitioned over it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
That really means a lot, yeah, because I appreciate being female stand-up. Like, female stand-ups are some of my favorites because, you know, obviously they speak to what I think about. But there's always this, like, suspicion I have that I'm like, oh, people just like me because I'm a female comic. They lower the bar, and that's why I'm good. But hearing you say that, I respect your opinion so much. That means so much to me.
No, I can't wait to hear. By the way, tell me about your mom. Did you talk to your mom on your podcast about everything? Are you one of those girls like that can be super honest about everything physical, everything like boys, everything?
The truth is no. My mom is a huge prude and is not, she's not like Bible, like clutching and pearl clutching. And like, you know, she's not like, oh, Nikki, but she's just like, she never talked to me about sex. She doesn't want to hear about my sex life, but she also understands that I could, you know, I'm going to buy them a second home someday because I talk about my sex life. So she understands that, like, I need to make these jokes.
Yeah,
so
you do.
She's, but, and as I've lived at home and we've become closer as I've been an adult, like, she's warmed up to me talking about this stuff a little bit more. But, you know, she just doesn't think anyone's good enough for me. She doesn't. We don't really talk about sex, but the thing is, they've just gotten so much cooler over the years. I started out my career talking about them on stage because I didn't really, when I was like 19, when I started, I didn't really have a sex life to talk about, even though I wish I could have been, like, that's all I wanted to talk about anyway. But I used to make jokes about her and, about her, like, drinking, because that was like the most interesting thing in my life, was that my mom is like a hilarious drunk. But I don't talk about her drinking anymore because she quit talking to me. So
she quit talking.
So I've learned my lesson.
Yeah.
But my mom is truly hilarious, and I'm realizing living at home, like, she's probably the reason I'm so funny. Like, people should go to my Instagram and watch a video I put up 2 days ago of me and my mom driving around St. Louis, and she called a radio station because there's a radio station in St. Louis that's playing Christmas music right now.
Ugh.
And it's so obnoxious, Johnny. Ugh. It's like, you feel, when you first hear it, you're like, am I going crazy? What's happening? Like, am I having a mental, I thought I had to be committed. I'm like, what? Because with coronavirus, this already feels like we're living in like a simulation, like
yeah.
what's happening.
Yeah.
And then when you hear Christmas music being played in March, it's not even funny. It's not like, oh, Christmas was so far away. It like wasn't that far away. It's not like funny. It's not cute. And my mom called the station and left like a scathing email to, like, they didn't pick up, but she dictated an email. And it's so funny. I promise you. Go to my Instagram. I'm doing weird stuff on Instagram. Yesterday I dressed up like one of the guys from Tiger King. Like, this is forcing comedians to get creative in other ways, for sure.
Oh, I think it's a wonderful thing in that way. Like, because you know how it is. Idle hands are the devil's workplace, and that is the best part of this life. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm bored. Let's get in some trouble. And that's how some of my most terrible, fantastic ideas have come up.
I love that that you said that, because I want to feel that way. I want to feel like this isn't such like a, you know, I was going on a huge theater tour. I was like a third of the way through it and all the dates stopped. And there's part of me that could be like, oh, woe is me, even though everyone's losing something. And no one is unaffected by this in massive ways. So I don't feel that sad for myself that I missed out on performing.
No.
But there's a little part of myself that's like, God, I had this like amazing career that was like kind of blossoming into something real when this all went down, and like just things were changing for me. And I've been kind of sad, but the truth is I'm finding new ways to create, and I'm and it's actually going to make me a better artist.
Everybody's pausing. Everybody, Nikki.
Yes.
And you got to remember that nobody's pulling ahead of you. You're not in a race where you've stopped and they're still
that's
running.
That's the best part.
You know, everybody.
That's the best part, Johnny, because I've been saying, everyone's like, I miss stand-up so much. Don't you miss stand-up? And I go, you know what? I do stand-up every night when I can. And I haven't done it for, you know, almost 3 weeks now. And I don't care at all. I don't miss it at all. Because the only reason I love doing stand-up, but what motivates me to do work is that other people are working and I don't want to fall behind.
Right.
But right now, everyone's not doing stand-up, so we're all getting bad, and that feels fine to me. Just like everyone's not being able to work out, I'm like, oh, good, we're all getting fat. Who cares? Lean into it. I'm getting fat and unfunny every day.
I just love you. I love you.
I love you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Listen, anytime. Listen, let's stay in touch or on the air too. Like, but through all this, because I think it's interesting to see how we're all going to evolve through the next at least month, maybe two. And I think it's going to get real weird and
like
real
two.
Fun.
I think it's going to be good too. And I think obviously we're going to look back on this time. Someone just posted a picture of that. The USS Comfort being like brought into New York City, you know, that big ship.
Oh yeah.
It's like coming in to be a hospital. And someone said that like this picture is going to be in history books.
It is.
And it was interesting to me because it's like, yeah, we all know that, but like, yeah, that this we're living in a time that is unprecedented in the in mankind as we know it. So there's something really exciting about it and terrifying and all those things. But I think we're going to come out different people and hopefully better people, and we should definitely stay in touch.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate. I want everyone out there listening to just like stay sane and know that I know you're lonely, and listen to radio, listen to podcasts, read books, feel connected, go to Zoom have Zoom meetings with your friends. I'm about to go to a 12-step meeting on Zoom, so I'm really trying to like stay. Connected to people, and there's help out there because I know a lot of people are lonely right now, and that's who I'm really feeling for.
And also banging, listen to that, because it's, I want to make sure people think about this. Man, get on Netflix and find it. Get on Comedy Central. Banging's on everything, right? You can get it on all the platforms.
Yeah. Banging's just on Netflix, but I have another special called Perfect on Comedy Central, and then I also have a 20-minute special that's newer than Banging that is out on Netflix as well, and it's an episode of The Degenerates. It's called The Degenerates, and it's five comedians each doing a set, and I'm episode, I think, number 5.
Excellent.
Six.
I'll watch it today.
So that you'll love that set, Johnny. It's crazy. I'm like, I think I have like a panic attack on stage because I'm like screaming. It's so funny, but it's really different than Banging. It's called The Degenerates.
All right.
And
listen.
I look really hot in it. I wore the tightest dress I've ever worn in my life.
Did you feel
that literally would not fit around my ankle right now?
Did you feel sexy? Did you feel wanted? Did you feel loved?
Yeah. Oh, that was a great night. Yeah. I mean, honestly, my vagina was hanging out of my, you could have seen it from the front row. It was the shortest thing I've ever worn in my life. But, yeah, it was good. I taped it in Las Vegas, so I really wanted to, generally I try to, when I taped Bangin', I didn't want to wear something too sexy because so often as a comic, as a female comic, people are like, oh, people only like her because she's hot or whatever.
Right.
And I just didn't want to give anyone that opportunity to say that about me. But then in my next special, once I proved I was funny with Bangin', I was like, oh, my next special I can look hot because now people know I'm funny and I can be hot if I put a lot of work into it.
She is the great Nikki Glaser. Go find everything she's done. Go find her podcast, You Up, SiriusXM, if you've got that. You can also find it everywhere you get a podcast. Go to Netflix. Follow her on Instagram. How do people find you on Instagram?
Just Nikki Glaser, NikkiGlaser.
You know what? I'm going to
call me Dare. Let me know you heard me on Dare. I love Dare fans, so thank you so much.
I will follow you right now, as a matter of fact, on Instagram.
Oh, hey, good.
Excellent. Stay right there.
About
Hold
time.
On.
That's about time. She's such a smart ass.
I know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.